Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
218 Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is Mark Cerise, Joe Giglio in for Johnny Marks alongside Ike Reese. TK with us here today at Citizens Bank Park. We're live. Teeks is here after his honeymoon.
Teeks a married man now.
That's right. Three married men in the booth here today.
Let me see how you still walking with a limp.
He's all right. He's smiling.
See if you got your pimp strut still going.
We'll see. We'll give you a report on that as we go along today. All right, so we're live at the park today. NovaCare broadcast booth. Reese Hoskins joins us right here in our little studio this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Larry Anderson a little later on the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk a lot of Phil. Starting the show with Arrieta. The concern and really the criticism now of a guy they paid $75 million, $30 this year, to come in and be an ace in June. He's been awful. And last night they had no chance in that game because Arrieta was hit and hit often, even with the defense. 888-729-9494. We'll talk Arrieta. We'll go to the lines here in a second. But I wanted to bring this up because I saw this story today. So Jimmy Kemski over at Philly Voice, he always does those articles every summer, why the other NFC teams will be a dumpster fire coming up in the next season. So he does the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Eagles. Excuse me, not the Eagles, the Giants. So today the Giants one came out. Why the Giants will be a dumpster fire in the 2018 season. So there was he had a line in there that I had never heard before. We know the story that the Eagles were interested in Ben McAdoo and Doug Peterson. And some people think that maybe Ben McAdoo was actually the Eagles' first choice to be the coach, and then he went to the back to the Giants and Doug ended up here. But I'd never heard this little detail from the story. So this is in Jimmy Kemski's story today. McAdoo was literally in a limo on his way to Philly from New Jersey to sign a deal. And after a phone conversation with the Giants management, he had the limo turn around because the Giants had offered him whatever it was he was looking for. That's how close Ben McAdoo came to taking the Eagles job and not Doug. That might be the greatest what if in Philadelphia sports history.
Hell yeah.
Ben McAdoo.
Well, I know if we had hired him as the head coach, we wouldn't be Super Bowl champions right now.
Probably be looking for another coach.
Yeah, we certainly will be talking about him being on a hot seat this year.
I mean, it is an amazing, amazing how close. And look, I bet all the times with coaching searches or when you hire a GM or whatever, it probably comes down to that. Like, you like two guys, maybe one says yes, the other one says no. Sometimes it's the moves you don't make that work out, but I never realized it was that close. Because we had heard rumors the whole time, like, oh, yeah, they liked McAdoo. I didn't realize he was on his way here to become the coach.
No, neither did I. And I was a little surprised. You know, Coughlin stepping down, you would have thought that McAdoo was automatically going to assume that position. But it must have been some sort of disagreement on, I guess, whether it was the role he would have in personnel.
How
much money, length of the contract. Maybe there was a little bit of disagreement on that, and then the Giants relented and said, you know what, give him what he wants. We certainly don't want him going to Philly.
It's the best thing that ever happened to the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Best thing that ever happened to the Eagles.
All right, so here's what we do. Today we have a couple giveaways. We have Philly's prize packs, which include a Reese Hoskins starting lineup figurine, a Philly's water bottle, and a solar-powered Liberty Bell, which is the giveaway, I think, this Sunday for the game against the Nats. So we have two prize packs, Philly's prize packs, including the Reese Hoskins figurine. When you call and say we'll talk Arrieta, we'll get into the Kawhi LeBron stuff in a few minutes. Give us a great what if in Philadelphia sports. Because that one I saw today, when I read that, I was like, that's the best what if I've seen in a while. McAdoo versus Doug Peterson. That is an unbelievable what if. Ben, did you have a what if?
Yes, I did. And I brought it up on the show before. I think Ike probably remembers what it is. It's the end of the Atlanta game. Because I remember thinking the entire time in that playoff game, when they were driving down the field, they're going to score. And we got down to that fourth down play. And when they didn't score, I just went, oh, my God, like we've entered an alternate reality. I almost can't get out of my mind the fact that they didn't let up that touchdown. Because it would have felt like such an Eagle, such a Philly thing to give up that touchdown, have Julio Jones catch that ball. And yet the ball just sailed through his hands. And look, here we are now. So what if he doesn't drop that ball? What if Jalen Mills doesn't bring him down? What if Julio Jones catches that ball and the Falcons win?
It's a great question. I mean, well, they lose. The Eagles lose. They don't win the Super Bowl.
Well, still some time left. But you're right. We lose.
They lose that game. They moved the ball better in the second half, but it wasn't like they were going to go down the field.
I guess we could have gotten in field goal range, maybe.
Set up Jake Elliott for another 60-something yarder.
But I think it was like 50-some seconds left.
There wasn't much time. I don't remember how many timeouts they had, but there wasn't much time.
Yeah.
Easy to think about it. The Falcons would take that situation all over again. They had it.
Well, that ball went through Julio's hands.
It did.
He mistimed his jump, even after he had fallen, you know, coming off the ball. No, Jalen didn't pull him down. He went down on his own. He basically slipped coming off the ball. But he got up in time. You know, Matt Ryan's back there patting the ball. He wanted to throw it to Devontae Freeman. Luckily, Michael Kendricks did his job and covered him.
Matt Ryan had a lot of time.
Yeah, he had a lot of time on
it
that play.
And at home watching it, felt like he had an hour back there.
Yeah, it felt like a ton of time back there. And when the ball went through Julio's hands, I'm like, okay, they got it. Flag is coming.
happened?
Yeah, what just happened there? Did he drop that? And that's a good what if.
Let me give you another one from that game.
Right there.
And let me give you one more from the game, and then I want to hear one from you, and then let's go to the phone lines. How about if the ball doesn't go off of Keanu Neal's knee before halftime?
Sure, that's another one.
Foles wasn't playing well in the first half.
That's a pick six.
The game totally changes.
Yeah.
Did that lead into the Nelson the run by Nelson?
No, it led into the field goal right before the half.
The field goal before the half.
And it still was a 10-9 game.
Right. So 1 point
game. We were still losing at halftime.
I remember social media was destroying Nick in the first half.
Sure.
Because it was coming off the end of the season. He hadn't played well.
It was
really,
the first game that he had played.
I think the first throw of that game was a duck he threw up in the air.
Yeah.
The weather wasn't cooperating.
Is that the one we got pass interference on?
It might have been.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it was not a good throw.
No.
And he wasn't playing well. And then the second half, he was unbelievable. I think he was like 10 of 11. But that ball doesn't go off of Keanu Neal's knee.
That's a pick six. Yeah.
What are you thinking? What if?
Well, I was thinking the Philly play.
If it doesn't work.
No, how about this? Get it ready for me, Ben. Play it for me.
He might be on the phone. Ben's got to grab it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when Nick goes over to Doug to suggest the play, and there's that little pregnant pause in between there. No, what if he says, no, I want to run such and such, it's an incomplete pass, or the play doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get points going in at the half.
You know what? That probably never makes it to NFL films. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. We might never know.
Because we wouldn't have known what Philly was.
Yeah. I mean, they never ran it before.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Right? He comes over there. And Doug, little thought.
Yeah. You know what? It was actually when Ben just played it. It's longer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's even more than a pregnant pause. Doug actually had to think for a second.
He told that story. I was with him a couple weeks ago.
About how it went down?
How it went down. And he talked about everybody getting a view of it with the inside special thing. And it was on his play chart. It just wasn't in the fourth down area. So when it's fourth down, he has a set of plays that he wants to run on fourth down.
And that wasn't in that group.
That wasn't in the fourth down group. It was in a third down group, I believe he said it was, because he wanted to have the opportunity, if he ran it, to run another play.
That's not a do-or-die play.
Yeah, that's not. Right.
And they made it a do-or-die play.
They made it a do-or-die play. So it's funny that he was like, yeah, it was in the game plan, because they had planned to use it against Minnesota.
Right.
And didn't use it. So they kept it in the game plan, but it just wasn't in the fourth down area.
It's a great what if.
On the play chart.
You know, Doug is a great play caller. Great play caller. Maybe the best in the NFL right now. But the other thing he trusts his players. Because that's it. I mean, that's the ultimate trust. Like, all right, you guys want
to
run it?
I said something real quick to people about the play chart. They see these coaches hold up, primarily Andy and Doug.
Yeah.
They got the big menu, and it's color-coded. Well, what that is those are situations in the game, game-time situations. And they got a certain block of plays that they want to run for certain down and distance. Certain personnel groups, if you're going against a certain defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the game plan. When he's putting his chart together Saturday night or what have you to get ready for Sunday, these are the plays that have come that I want to run in this situation, in this situation, and in this situation.
So it's like there's a lot, but that simplifies it for him.
Yes.
So it's like, all right, third and three.
It's
I have
categories for him.
I have 10 plays here. Let me pick my favorite one. Because you look at that menu, it looks like McAdoo had that with the Giants. And people made fun of him because he couldn't pick a good play off the Giant menu. But there's a lot of plays they have.
It helps to organize if it's third and long, right? If it's third and long, trick play. Okay, which area of the field do I want to go to my trick play? right? That was the flea flicker, right? So that's what that big thing is.
You know, you brought it up. We played
it. It's funny because Chip used to have like a cue card.
He had like six plays. Yeah. It always reminded me of the what was the line from Herman Boone, Remember the Titans? It's like Novocaine because he only had like six plays in his playbook. He said, give it time, it always works. It didn't work for Chip. But, you know, the amazing part about that cut we played and the whole Philly thing, and we'll talk to Nick tomorrow. Nick Foles, 5:30 tomorrow.
Nicky Six!
I'm sure we're going to ask him about Philly, but how quickly NFL coaches have to think on their feet.
Yeah.
Doug doesn't have much time there. Like, that's the biggest decision maybe of his life in terms of football.
Yes!
All right, let's do it. And he was so, all right, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
888-729-9494. Jake Arrieta has been awful for the Phillies in June. We'll talk about that. And give us a great one at Philadelphia Sports. It could be any time, but obviously we're touching on the most recent ones here. And we got a couple of Phillies prize packs we'll give away over the course of the show. You get a good one, we'll get you in the mix. Dan is in Mayfair. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's first time, long time. Ike, I just want to get this out of the way. Thank you for your service to the Midnight Green.
Those 99 to 05
teams are some of my favorite teams of all time, like any sport,
Thank you. Thanks for the support.
Anyway, Joe, what'd you do to Eskin, man? Is every time I turn around, man, Eskin's got your name in his mouth. Did you owe him some money or something?
I heard a tweet this morning that he was ripping me on Angelo, so I'm not surprised.
Oh yeah,
we don't see eye to eye on Gabe Kapler, as you could imagine.
Right, right. I mean, it's not just this morning. It wasn't just this morning. It's been going on for weeks now, Joe.
Is it Saturday morning too?
Yeah.
It might have been. I think here's what's part of it. So usually every week, Dan, Howard and I will do 2 hours together, a Tuesday and a Thursday if it's not baseball season.
Some of the best hour on the radio.
So we haven't had a chance to go back and forth because I've been in this week with Ike.
Oh, that's right.
And I think at the end of last week there was baseball. So it's like he hasn't had a chance to come at me, so he's doing it when we're not on the air together.
Right. Okay. Right. There you go. It makes sense.
It's like you and Sam Hinkie are like the bane of his existence. I don't know.
No, I think it's all good. I love Howard. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted real quick about Arrieta. I'm gonna forego the whole. He's getting paid through the nose, and he's been coming up short lately. I mean, he was practically last night's game. He was practically teeing him up for the Yankees hitters. But I'm gonna forego all that. And I was just wondering why he's making all that money and he can't take his behind to a barbershop. You know what I'm saying? This is the summertime and everything like that. He's out here with the playoff hockey beard, like looking like a darn hobo or something like that. He needs to do something about that, man. His dish looks crazy. I'm about to start calling him Boxcar Jake or something like that.
Yeah, well, the beard's in playoff mode. The arm, not right now.
Yeah. Like he out here looking crazy. He needs to do something about that. That thing crazy.
If he throws well, no one's going to care about the beard, good or bad. Got to throw well.
I
don't know if you seen that. Did you see the post game interview with him
last night? I saw it.
It's crazy, man. And then he's like looking off into space, like cross-eyed or something.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He has that. He does have that look where it almost seems like he's staring through.
Yes.
You.
He is a competitive dude.
Yes.
This has got to be eating at him right now.
It's that Papelbon. Intense.
He's very intense.
Right?
I like that about him.
Yeah.
Especially when he's pitching well, because you can feel that. You can see why he's pitched so well in big spots. I mean, he's won a World Series. Right now, though, he's got
that wide-eyed.
Yes. Just stare a hole through you. You don't want to look at him too closely. 888-729-9494.
So the eyes with the beard can kind of scare people.
Yes. And usually he's pretty intimidating out there. Yeah. The month of June?
Well, he warms up with the cutoff sleeves.
He does.
He got the guns out and...
I mean, it's part of the reason they wanted to sign him, because he brings that intensity to a young team.
When he sat down with me and John at spring training, he had came from the weight room, look in the eyes. And
it's funny, you look at him.
Like, this dude, is he a closer or a starter?
When he came up with Baltimore, he didn't have any facial hair. He looked so different. Now he's got
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing him without facial hair.
Yeah, he used to not have it. He wasn't good then. He got good, he had the facial hair.
The beard, man.
Let's talk to David, who is in Delaware. What's up, David?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Dave.
Good, brother.
Two quick points, if I may, and I have a what if for you. I think what's happening with the Phillies, what you're seeing now, is the Phillies are a good team. They have good pitching. Their young players are coming around a little bit. They're still finding themselves. And when they play other good teams, they have good games. The Yankees are a great team. And when the Phillies play a great team, it doesn't go so well.
I think that's fair, David. Yeah. No, David, I think that's fair. And I think that... Look, the Yankees aren't, you said it, they're not just good. They're on pace right now, the Yankees, for 109 wins. We're watching a great team here in Philadelphia this week.
Yeah, and I think that's where, I don't know if the Phillies actually said it or if the announcers said it. They were missing Scherzer both Washington series, the last one and the next one. I don't think Scherzer's pitching.
So I'm not sure on the second part, because some people think they might push Scherzer up to pitch Sunday, but you're right, they could miss him. They certainly missed him last weekend. They could miss him Sunday.
I think one of the announcers said that they're dodging a bullet by not having to face Scherzer. That's not what a great team says. The Yankees want Scherzer. The Yankees want your best pitcher on the hill every game because they want to beat him. I think Charlie Manuel said it. To be the man, you have to beat the man.
Well, yeah, I hear that, but I'd rather not face Max Scherzer.
Right.
I want to win games. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Eventually, you have to face those guys, but like we saw what Severino did to them last night. David, what's your what if?
What if Carson doesn't get hurt?
How about that one?
Yeah.
What if Carson does not go down?
David, I'm going to put you in the mix. We'll get you in the running for our Phillies prize pack. What if Carson doesn't go down?
We don't sweat the Atlanta Falcon game.
Do they win the Super Bowl?
Hell yeah.
I think they probably do, but I will say this. I don't think Carson could have played any better than Nick did. Played as great as you could play.
Yeah.
Carson could have done the same thing, conceivably.
Yep.
But it's not like they would have had an upgrade for those games at quarterback, because you really can't play much better than Nick did.
I agree.
It is weird to think about, though.
I agree. And that's why I went straight to the Falcon game. We wouldn't have had to sweat the Falcon game.
Well, that game would have been different.
So I still believe that the Minnesota game would have turned out the same. And the Patriots game will probably would have turned out the same, too.
The one thing that might have been a little different, though, Ike, the mentality of the underdog thing. Like, if we just look at it X and O's, they could have won all those games just the same. They wouldn't have had that. They would have been favored in the Atlanta game, clearly. They were the number one seed with their MVP quarterback. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been able to play that card. I don't know how much that mattered. Felt like it mattered a lot in the moment.
Yeah, it did. And they needed it for the situation.
To get through it.
The thing with Carson, he exudes so much confidence and instills that in them, they would have been on an even more dominant role. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They would have rolled through the NFC like they did. And that's why, I mean, they beat Minnesota by blowing them out. They wouldn't have struggled with Atlanta if Carson is there. And then you go into New England, you're still going to be the underdog against Belichick and Brady. So you're still going into the Super Bowl as underdogs. And only thing changes is Doug has more plays to call.
He's got a different – he's got the Carson plays that he can't use with Nick.
Yeah. The plays where you put him out on the edge, the perimeter, the rollout, the play actions, things of that nature where you can use Carson's mobility as well as that strong arm. Like I said this yesterday, and this is not a knock against Nick, but it's the difference between Nick and Carson. Nick had a clean pocket through the playoffs.
Carson rarely did early in the season.
Yeah.
Rarely.
You see those plays Carson is making. Those are plays from being under duress.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still making plays. I mean, plays that turned into big first downs or touchdowns.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.